Good morning. Nice to see you all. Isn't it interesting all these foreign accents? Swedish people and Estonian people. Well, I just want you to know I'm British. And from the northeast of England all my life. That's why I speak like this. Take hold of the person next to you and say, "You're looking particularly good this morning." It's okay to lie, you can be forgiven. On Route 61. This morning I want to start a new series with you that will take us through to Christmas. It's the same series that the kids are going to be doing as well. So you can sort of link your learning experience with your kids. You can talk about it over Sunday lunch table and with your kids. We're going to be looking at the life of Daniel. Daniel, the world changer. Oh, that's a nice lion. Well done, Andy Bash. Put that on, looks like Aslan. Daniel, the world changer. Definitely one of the most influential people in the Old Testament, if not the most influential person, actually. Incredible the influence Daniel's life had across the whole known world. The whole civilized world were affected by this one life. Incredible, really, when you're going to see where he started from. With absolutely nothing. At the absolute bottom, he had this influence, not from Jerusalem, reigning as a king like David or Solomon, but from a pagan palace as a slave, with no power, no money, no family, yet he was blessed, Siku, because he had God. Amazing how God can use one life to shake the whole world, isn't it? It was a poor farmer in North Carolina in the 30s during the Great Depression who had a terrible accident in a very poor farming community, desperate for money. He was working on some wood, cutting wood, and a very sharp splinter of wood came off his machine and went into his mouth, stuck in the back of his throat. And he thought he was going to die. He was bleeding from his throat, filling his stomach with blood, pouring out of his mouth. He couldn't stop the blood. The doctor came, and eventually the doctor managed to get the piece of wood out of the back of his throat and couldn't stop the bleeding. And he was almost certain he was going to die, but he didn't. He was a churchgoer. He was a Christian guy. He was weak for months afterwards and slowly recovered. As he was recovering, he was really meeting God, realizing how close heaven was, how close death can be to all of us. And one of those moments in his life where he really started to realize how much he needed God for real. So he was a changed man. He started having prayer meetings in his farm, inviting other of the farming community guys to come and pray in his barn. And they began to pray. Without prayer, nothing changes, does it? But with prayer, proof is, through the Bible and church history, with prayer, anything can happen. Prayer can do anything God can do. Because prayer connects you to God and his power. And they started these prayer meetings. And in the prayer meetings, they got more and more faith. And they started to pray that God would even affect the whole world from their little prayer meeting. That he would somehow, these poor farmers gathering in a barn, would somehow shake the world through their prayer meeting. It's very interesting because as these guys were praying, the son of the farmer would be playing in the barn and knocking around in the hay. Maybe you know the son's name, Billy Graham. As they were praying that God would use someone from their community to shake the whole world, God was answering their prayers. It's amazing how one life can change the world with Almighty God. Let's read the first chapter of Daniel together, or you could just listen if you haven't got your Bible. You probably can't see it in this cinema anyway. Holy Spirit, we ask you in the name of Jesus to be our teacher this morning. We ask you that as you read the word of God, you would speak to our hearts as you're already doing through dreams and healing us and blessing us. Lord, we ask you to speak to us now. Through Daniel chapter 1, in Jesus' name. Amen. In the third year of the reign of Joachim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylon and put it in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring in some of the young Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that they were to enter the king's service. Among these men were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, the name Belshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach. And to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. Very interesting dream you had there, Siku. And he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in this way. Now the king had caused the official to show favour and sympathy. God had caused the official to show favour and sympathy to Daniel. But the official told Daniel, "I'm frightened of the king, who's assigned you your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men of your age? The king would have my head because of you." So Daniel said to the guard, whom the chief official had appointed over them, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the other young men who eat the royal food, and then treat your servants according to what you see." So he agreed to this, and he tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the king took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink, and gave them vegetables instead. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them in, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar, and the king talked with them, and he found no one equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. What do you do when you absolutely hit rock bottom in your life, which is what Daniel had experienced as a young man? As a young man, his whole life was taken away. He'd grown up as part of the nobility, must have been connected to the royal family somehow in Israel. At a time when Israel was in massive decline, sinning against God, full of idolatry, disobedient to the prophets, ignoring Jeremiah, mocking Jeremiah, trying to kill Jeremiah, and other prophets whom God had sent to warn them, "Come back to me or there'll be trouble, come back to me or there'll be trouble." They totally ignored God. And because of that, they ended up in absolute mess, like we do. Many of us, the worst things that ever happen in our life happen because we've completely ignored God all our life. We've walked away from him. We haven't walked his ways. We haven't listened to God, to mum and dad, to people who gave us good advice. Follow the world, want to do our own thing. We end up in an absolute mess. And that's what the whole of Israel were experiencing, an absolute mess. God allowed this pagan king to ride through the land. The northern kingdoms had already gone. There was only Judah left, but they were going to go as well. So rebellious, so disobedient to God, so idolatrous. And God said, I have to do what I promised to do. If you live like this, I'm going to judge you. And you might think, well, that's the end. You know, when God's against you and you deserve it and things have hit rock bottom, that's the end for me. But actually, God's so good, that's never the end. The amazing thing is that Daniel, though he'd lost everything, and he had, whatever dreams he had, as soon as he was taken as a slave, they were gone. He was never going to get married. He was never going to have his own family. He was never going to live in his own nation again. He's got his name changed. He was called a foreign god. Everything was gone. He was going to have to live in a pagan palace with all the revelry and madness of that. He was going to have to live there for the rest of his life. Yeah, I mean, it was just horrendous. He was at the absolute bottom of all things. But when you're at the bottom of all things, guess what, brothers and sisters? Look up. Because no matter what can be taken away from you, your health, your family, your marriage, your money, no one can take God from you if you turn to him in your heart, which is what Daniel did. He was absolutely at rock bottom, so he just turned to God in his heart. And you know the wonderful thing about God is, no matter how far we drift from him, no matter how far you walk away from God, the moment you turn around, he's just there. He's right next to you. We used to play this game at school where we used to take the mick out of it, really. We used to be walking across the quad or across the field, and some of us used to like go behind them just without them knowing and just walk in their legs. And you'd be walking exactly behind them. If they stopped, you'd just bump into them. Or if they turned around, whoop, you were there, just for a laugh. But God's like that with us. We decide to drift and walk away. He's right there in our steps. He's right behind us. And you might think, I'm miles away from God. I've gone the wrong way. But you turn around. And the Lord is kind and faithful. It's happened to the prodigal son. The prodigal son turned back to his father. And he starts a long journey, but his dad's running. That's what God's like. If you're far away from God today, if your life's a mess, if you're at the bottom, just turn right now in your heart to God. And he'll be right there with you this moment. That's how kind he is. Some of our relatives, the New Love family, one of Tracy New Love's sisters, went miles away from God. She'd known God as a girl, been saved, been part of the church, filled with the Holy Spirit, following Jesus. But she drifted miles away from God, went through a series of divorces, moved to Australia, living just absolutely miles away from God. One day in Australia, she just remembered that when she was a Christian walking with God, she had the gift of tongues. She could speak in tongues. And at the absolute lowest point of her life, she thought, I wonder if I can still speak in tongues. And she started to pray. She still had the gift of tongues. Because God hasn't gone anywhere. You can drift, but he doesn't. And that moment, she came back to Jesus Christ. Today, she's on fire for God, serving God in a church in Australia. God is so good. You can come back to him, can't you? That's what Daniel did. What do you do when your life hits rock bottom? Well, it is what you do. You do what you can. Daniel did what he can, what he could. He didn't do what he couldn't. He didn't go over the top. And I want to encourage you to do the same. You can change in these next 3 months as you do this series significantly in your life, but it's best to start small and do one thing that you can do now to get you back on track with God. Just one thing. It's far better than trying to do something big and heroic. He didn't panic. He wasn't frantic. He didn't go there and try and change the whole culture. He didn't join a little group of zealots. He didn't get his brothers together in the palace and start slitting throats and planning a revolt. He realized, no, I'm here. I'm here now. And I'm here because of God's judgment on my life. Actually, I've made a mess of my life. And there's no changing it right now. What I need to do is get back to God and then let him decide. He didn't start doing what he couldn't. He did what he could. He didn't warn the king. He didn't go and see Nebuchadnezzar and say, you shouldn't have took our God's things from his temple and put them in your God's temple. Oh, you're going to be in trouble now. He didn't get all clever and I'd recommend that you don't too. Don't worry about changing the nation and changing your world or even your husband. Start with yourself. Look in the mirror and start with you. One thing with you and your family will change. You turn to God and your life will get much better instantly. Don't try and change the church and change, you know, your kids and change anything. Before you start with you, start with yourself and do one thing. Maybe that one thing is you going on Route 61. Maybe there's a beguiling weakness with you, a sin that keeps coming back and won't be uprooted, a massive insecurity that keeps tripping you up. Then get yourself on Route 61. Maybe your one thing is just to join a small group. You come on Sundays, but you're not part of a small group. You're not part of a group that encourage you and help you. Well, maybe it's that. Maybe your marriage is scraping along the bottom. You're angry with each other. You're tired. You're sick of each other. Maybe you just need to get your wife some flowers once a week for the next few months. The Holy Spirit will show you what to do as you turn to him and ask him, what is the one thing you need to do? For Daniel, he didn't resist his name. He let them change his name. He didn't resist learning the stuff of these pagan culture and false gods. He accepted it. But he sort of drew the line in the sand on one place that he had faith for. I don't want to eat all that rich pagan food that Jews aren't allowed to eat. And I don't want to drink that wine. They drank wine like water. I don't want wine 5 times a day and blur myself through this experience, which could have been very tempting. What do you think? You've lost everything. You're never going to be married. Your dreams are gone. You're on the floor. Oh, pour the wine out, mate. And keep it flowing through these 3 years of pagan university, because I don't want to be... That's very easy, isn't it? But Daniel, his heart was turning to God. He thought, God, I need God. So he turned to God and thought, no, I don't want that. I'm not going to have that. I'm going to try and take an act of obedience and faith on this. And it wasn't easy for him. He asked the official. The official said, official liked him, it says. God made the official like him. He still said, no, no chance. The king will have my head, son. So he went below the official. He kept trying. He was determined. Like I am with this little microphone to get it absolutely on my... Jesus always had trouble with his microphones, did you know? And he drew the line there, and that's where he stayed. And it worked for him. God saw that, and that the other guy was willing to sort of test him for 10 days, and then for 3 years, they turned away from the world. See that? They turned away from the pleasures of this world. I'm not exactly sure, and I don't want to read into what the Bible doesn't tell us, but I'm not exactly sure what the feasts and all that in the pagan house palace meant. But it could have been a lot of revelry involved in that. And Daniel turned away from that. And he said, no, that living, I had the revelry back in Israel. I had the out of control nobility, drunken pagan life back where we should have been serving God. Now I'm in a mess. I'm going to turn to God. What a great idea. He turns to God and says, no, what a fantastic dream Seeker had. She doesn't know what I'm speaking on this morning. I mean, the Holy Spirit speaking to us, do you? Say, oh, you can have the world, look. Oh, yeah, the teacher's got the big food. But actually, I'd rather be blessed with Jesus at home, with simple life, than have the world's life. Are you hearing the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit speaking to us this morning. Turn away from the world and the pleasures of this world and seek God. And you'll be personally renewed and revived. It's fantastic. He resolved to do it. And notice something. He resolved to do it together with some pals. Isn't it good to be together? Yeah. You know, one life changes the world. But he didn't do it alone. You don't do anything alone, do you? He had a band of brothers. He had a small group for support, for encouragement, to help one another. He didn't say, test your servant for 10 days and seek. No, he said, it's plural. Test your servants. They were in agreement, these guys. Let's seek God. Let's do it together. Let's resist together. It's easier to do it together, isn't it? The whole world's running after sin and pleasure and things that actually destroy our lives. It's very difficult to turn away from that on your own. So we should turn away from it together. So, praise the Lord. Do what you can, not what you can't. Start with yourself, Don't be in a rush. It was 3 years. You know, he didn't panic and try and change everything overnight. It was 3 years. The devil makes you be in a rush. The Bible says, he who believes will not be in haste. Well, we're in this for life, aren't we? You don't have to be in a rush. You need to, steady growth is better than big testimonies of glory. I've been following Jesus 35 years and I've seen so many people come in fast and come in with a big testimony. Oh, I was into this and that and oh, yeah, yeah. And they walk across the stage and they go back. Oh, they're gone. Like, who was that masked crusader? And he rides on. Oh, so what a testimony. Where's he gone? Oh, he's gone. Easy in, easy out. Brothers and sisters, just steady growth. Keep following Jesus. Keep learning. Keep growing. Keep going. It's better. God does a mighty miracle for you. Hallelujah. But don't miss the steady growth. Keep going. Keep attending. Keep serving. Keep working. Every time you fall, get up again. Don't give up. Keep going. And then your life will become something awesome in the end. Don't try and be a superstar overnight. Just change one thing and God will be with you. Number two, flourish where you are. Again, fits in so much with Seeker's Dream, that. Flourish where you are. See God in your circumstances right now. Even if you're struggling, be grateful. Didn't Seeker say that in the dream? Be grateful because it could be worse. Whatever your situation is right now, it could be a lot worse. Be grateful for your health, for your friends, for your family. Thank God every day. For everything he gives you, no matter what you're going through, especially if you're struggling and suffering, thank him. Let thanks and praise come out of your mouth. Be blessed, as Ian said through the psalm. Blessed are those who've learned to praise God. Something you learn. Praise God when you're up. Praise God when you're down. Thank him and you'll be absolutely blessed. I was reading about a guy the other day with no, you maybe know this guy, he's really famous actually, famous Christian, got no arms, no legs, and he's absolute radiant Christian, speaks to thousands of people, prays with power, married to a beautiful wife, got a little baby, he surfs, he swims. Who is this guy? He's amazing. He's anointed. He's full of life. But he's got two less legs than I've got and two less arms than I've got. Well, that doesn't matter if you've got Jesus. We should be radiant, thankful, blessed people. Are you blessed this morning? Yeah. You are. You're blessed. So let's thank God for every single blessing that we have in our lives. Because whatever happens, it could be a lot worse. And like CQ said in the dream, if you're saved, if you know Jesus Christ, you're going to heaven, you've won anyway. Yeah. It's like a game show. You can win a billion, and there's all sorts of things. Okay, Mr. Root, you've already won the billion. Yay! Do you want to keep playing? Why not? You can't lose it. You can't lose the billion, but you can play for more stuff. Yeah, let's play. I've got nothing to lose. That's my life. Hey, I'm going to heaven. I've got nothing to lose. If you're going to heaven, you've got nothing to lose. If you aren't going to heaven yet, then sort your microphone out and get saved. Come to know Jesus. Get on the Alpha course. Really come to know Jesus. Don't just do a prayer in church. Do you want to say, this is good? No. Keep going. Learn. Get to know Jesus. Be born again. Be filled with the Holy Spirit to the point where there's no going back for me. This is my life now. I've resolved to follow Jesus for the rest of my life. What fantastic songs we sang this morning. I give you my heart. Take my soul. I give you. That's Christianity. Nothing less. Not attending church. That's just a tiny bit, the fringe of it. Get to Jesus. Get the treasure. Keep following him all your life, brothers and sisters. See things from God's perspective and not just your own. See things from the other side. I love that story of Corrie ten Boom. She was preaching somewhere once when she was an old lady. And a nurse in the congregation said to her, could you please come and see this man I'm nursing at the moment. He's terribly depressed. He was a Jewish guy actually, but was just in a terrible condition. He had a condition where he had to be hung from, you know, straps and chains and things from the ceiling, and his body turned all the time, turned and moved all the time just to keep him breathing and keep him alive. Corrie ten Boom, so he was just desperate, and She actually lied on the floor to speak to him because he was hanging down near the floor. And she said, I was in a concentration camp. I know all about suffering. My whole family died in that camp. My sister I saw die. I understand suffering. But Jesus, your Messiah, helped me see this from his perspective. And he's turned it all to good. And he can use any suffering for his glory as you trust him and put your life in his hands. And though he was struggling to hear it, obviously, he was totally, had no quality of life at all. He was here for the rest of his life, hung, turned, pain, alone, terrible. And she left him with the gospel and went and continued doing the preaching. Before she'd finished her trip, she said, can I go back and visit that guy again? And the nurse said, absolutely, yeah. And she arranged to go. When she went and went to the room, just the straps were there hanging, no one there. And she found the nurse who was looking after the ward that day, and she said, oh, he's died. He's died. But actually, hold on. He got me to jot down a few words for you before he died. And she unraveled a tiny piece of paper and she read, I've put my trust in Jesus the Messiah and I'm beginning to see things from the other side. Corrie ten Boom said to him, our life is like a weaving where on one side it just looks like a mess of unexplained situations and knots and bits cut off. But if you could see your life from God's side, he's doing something beautiful. And he said, oh, it's moving, isn't it? I'm beginning to see it from the other side. 3 times a day, Daniel prayed. Brothers and sisters, flourish where you are. Do your best. Do your best where you are. If you're a mum raising little kids, raise the kids for Jesus. Do your best. Don't wait your life out till things get better. Life is happening right now for you. Do your best. If you've married someone, you think, blinking heck, he's hard work. Well, you're married now. Do your best. Love each other, forgive each other, work at the marriage, make it better. If you're waiting to be married, if you're praying for someone to come, you live for Almighty God on your own until that person comes and you trust God. And whatever our circumstances, do your best. Daniel did his best here. He was 3 years. God gave him understanding to learn all this literature, this bizarre pagan literature. He worked at it. He learnt the language. He learnt the... And he might have thought, what a waste of time. What a waste. How am I going to use this? Serving God, seeking God. What's this got to do with God? Actually, it was a perfect fit for how he would serve God in the palace before the king. Brothers and sisters, don't waste anything. If you're at school, if you're at college, how is this going to work for my life? Hey, put your life in God's hands and trust him and do your best and you'll see. You'll see how God uses your experiences, your suffering, your skills, everything for his glory in the end. And if you trust God and put your life in his hands, that's how it works. Don't be foolish and resist all the time, rebel all the time, and miss everything and lose your microphone. There's nothing wrong with the microphone, it's my ear. I've got some alien in my blood, I think, on my mother's side. But anyway... So do your best. And number three is be available. Be available to God. Daniel did his best, waited 3 years. We learn later in his life that he was praying as well, developing spiritual gifts. He was praying 3 times a day. Notice that God didn't just give him learning and wisdom and understanding. He also developed spiritually. He could understand dreams and visions. We're not here just to learn from the book. The Bible, we are, most certainly are, but we're people of the Holy Spirit as well. I'm so glad we're healing people because that's Jesus' life. I'm so glad we're asking the Holy Spirit to come because that's Christianity. I'm so glad we're, having dreams explained to us from the Holy Spirit that fitting perfectly with the preach because the Holy Spirit's amongst us. We've got to be spiritual people. Brothers and sisters, develop spiritual gifts. Get the gift of tongues and enjoy praying in tongues. Be healed and then heal others. Learn to hear God's voice. Learn to have dreams and visions and revelations. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then you'll live life available to God. You'll be available to him, which is what absolutely matters. Daniel was totally available to God. You need to let God know that you're available to him this morning for anything he wants to happen in your life. Some of us have a do not disturb sign over our heart, the door of our heart. A do not disturb sign. If you're in a hotel, you know, do not disturb. Actually, you don't get your room cleaned then either. It's much better leave it off, get your room cleaned if you ask me. Even if you are in the nud when they walk in. No! The truth is, we need to take that sign off our hearts today. You need to take that sign off those areas of your life where, oh, this is my bit of the life. Yeah, sorry, I don't mind going to church, but here, do not disturb God. This is my work. This is my family. This is my hobby. This is my... Now, take it all off. God, disturb me. I used to know a vicar who used to say, may the peace of God thoroughly disturb you. What a great guy. Absolutely. Lord, come and disturb my life and make it better. Your life can only get better with God. As you do your best, as you do one thing well. Some of us are called to do many things for God, not till you've done one thing well. Some of us are called to do mighty things for God, not till you've done small things faithfully. That's the truth. That's how it works. God promotes you and opens doors for you as you serve with all your heart in what he's given in your hand right now. Do all the good you can right now without being frantic, without running around. Hear the Holy Spirit and be faithful. That's the way to seriously grow as a Christian. We take the do not disturb sign off our hearts and we let God use us. And you'll see as we go through Daniel's life here that this little life, he ends up saving kings. He brings the kings to the Lord. He testifies before the court. He affects the whole empire through his life in the end. The whole empire, which was 44% of the globe's population at that point. And the whole of the civilized world. This one powerless, familyless slave. Out of his culture. Stuck. No power. Oh, but he does have power. The power to change the world through starting by turning to God and making himself available to God so that God could touch him and use him. I was walking through our kitchen the other day and I noticed the tap was a bit depressed. So I stopped her, I went back, I said, what's wrong, tap? The tap looked really down. He said, I'm sorry, master, I've failed you. So what do you mean? He said, I've seen you walk past several times today and I've done nothing for you. I haven't washed your hands. I haven't even given you a drink of water, filled the kettle. And I tapped him, I said, oh, I tapped him, I said, you silly tap. I said, I don't want you trying to squeeze a little bit of water out yourself. That just wastes water and makes a mess. And the tap said, I'm sorry, but I haven't done anything for you. So I looked him right in the nozzle. I said, listen, tap. I know where you are. And I know that any time I reached out and touched you, you'd respond to me and water would flow. You've been faithful to me today, Tap, because you've been available to me. God doesn't want you or me trying to squeeze little drips of water out of our life. He wants us to be available to him so that whenever he wants to use you, he can reach out and touch you and water will flow, life will flow. If you're available to him, that's all he asks. Daniel made his life, mess that it was, available to God. And it completely changed history, not only for Israel, but for many, many nations. It's absolutely incredible. But why don't you stand? Let me pray for you. Holy Spirit, thank you for speaking to us today. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to bring your light right now and show us that one thing where we should start to make this year so significant for you. Lord, our lives are before you. You know the mess. You know the turning to you that we need to do. Holy Spirit, we heave through that dream and through this word. We want to say no to what's on offer from this world. The party, the banquet, the palace of the devil. Though it looks so nice, we choose to walk past it right now and to come home where we're blessed with you, where we belong. The simple, pure life with Jesus. Lord, we pray that you'd bless us as a church. Help us be utterly available to you and filled with your Holy Spirit. I pray that this week, Lord, as you reach out and touch our hearts, we'd flow with your words, with your love, with your kindness, with your gifts, with your supernatural power, with the gospel, with the good news of Jesus. If you need to turn to God right now in your heart, just reach out your hand, lift up your hand now and reach out to him as a sign that you're turning to him from this world. And he'll see your hand and he'll take hold of it. And something wonderful will begin. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.